welcome back to the Victory Podcast. I am Brady, and I'm joined today with Pastor Jody, and we're going to talk about the new series, Pressure, that we've been in and on right now.
Yeah.
So, what about Pressure?
We introduced this Sunday, and so, I don't know, just maybe give a little more depth of kind of what we're trying to accomplish and all that stuff in here. So I want to start by reading the passage that we're going to kind of consider the text for this entire series. And it comes out of James. And I read it in the King James Sunday, but this is out of the New Living. And here's what it says. We'll just pick up in James 1, verse 2. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way." So King James says various trials.
Right.
But the way it says it here is troubles of any kind. So kind of focusing on that. Troubles of any kind. So we're just talking about whatever life throws at you.
Right.
"Consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." King James uses patience, not
endurance.
Right. Yeah, patience instead of endurance. So kind of the point we were making was that life is always going to throw us challenges. There's always going to be troubles.
Right.
But I said it over and over again, there's purpose in the pressure. Okay. So what he's saying here is troubles are coming, and God is going to use those troubles to develop your endurance or patience. So it's doing something in you. There's a purpose in it. And the work is to build your faith so that you can be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Well, obviously, as believers, we all want to be mature and complete, lacking nothing.
Hopefully. So, hopefully we do.
Yeah. But the point we're making is that this process of pressure is going to bring us to maturity. So if we want to be mature, then we need to learn how to handle, how to respond correctly when trials of any kind come, when that pressure comes from those trials.
This is one of those scriptures I wish that we could take our scissors and cut it out of the Bible, to be honest with you, because it's not one of these things. What's the other? Is that version that says the fiery trials? There's one verse, and maybe it's NIV. I can't remember what it is.
I think it's a different passage.
Yeah, it's a different passage.
I think so, yeah.
But this is the verse I think about when I think about even this one, is like those fiery trials that come to us, and nobody really wants that. Right. But the good thing is it's like no one really, I don't know, well, maybe you do. I don't really like going to the gym. I don't like working out. I would rather eat Reese's and milk than go actually to the gym. But we know that when you put in the work,
that's right,
you get the results that you want. But most people don't want to put in the work.
We understand this concept when we think of, that's probably the most obvious, that the way to build muscle is to have resistance.
Right.
So resistance is what actually develops muscle. And so we go yay and amen on that until it comes in life. There's resistance in life through a trial or a challenge. Then we're not so excited about it, but it does produce something. So is what it produces worth the hassle, worth the energy of correctly responding to the resistance?
Well, if your goal is to have nothing missing, lacking nothing in your life, then absolutely
this
it's
is
worth
the way
it.
To get there.
Now let's talk about the various trials. So, because in here, James is talking, he's writing this letter. If y'all don't know, he's writing this letter to the scattered Jewish people who are under persecution, Christians at the time too, who are under, Jewish Christians that turned away from Jewish law and is now serving Jesus. He's writing this letter because they're being persecuted, being killed, being martyred. And so he's writing this saying, hey, when trials come, but he said various trials to take care of what we probably go through, because I don't know about you, but I'm not being chased with a machete for working at a church right now. So what's some various trials that people could be in right now that, or maybe that you're in? Let's make it personal.
Well, before we do that, let me just say, and I said this Sunday, so if you were there, this is going to be, but for me, doing some background on James really helped.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You weren't even there Sunday. I don't know if you heard us say this, but, so you read a scripture like this, and so you think, okay, I don't know what picture pops in your mind of what the people looked like or what their lives looked like mm-hmm. who were writing this book. Well, did some study on James. James was a stud. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was, and he suffered. He was very influential in right. Jerusalem. He knew hardships because he was kind of the one, the forefront bringing Christianity into Jerusalem, into this hub of Judaism. And so he knew what persecution was. He was thrown off the roof of the temple and mm-hmm. didn't die because the religious right. leaders were so mad at him. And he hit the ground, rolled up on his knees, and started praying for him. Mm-hmm. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They picked up stones and stoned him, and somebody grabbed a club and bashed his head in right there. Right. So when I read that little bit of work, mm-hmm. Seeing who was writing this, now I read this and I go, okay, this isn't a guy talking about
right.
somebody cut me off in traffic. You know, right. I'm labeling that. You know, yeah. So maybe it does seem what we're facing today, maybe a little wimpy,
right?
You know, and we whine about whatever trial I'm going through when this right. guy understood real.
Yeah,
but the principle stands. So whatever it is, but I do agree that in order for us to really take full advantage of this, we need to maybe look at how it applies to my life.
Right.
So your question was, what do trials look like for us today? They could look like anything,
mm-hmm.
but let's just talk about some things that people today face. And maybe it's a problem with your kids. Maybe you got a kid who's not, you know, you're raising kids and things aren't going like you want them to go.
Yeah. I mean, that's a real pressure cooker in our household right now.
Yeah. It could be money. It could be anything. There's just maybe your job. Maybe you're having trouble on your job. Maybe, you know, whatever it is. But it all looks that way.
Yeah. So if you are going through that trial, how do you keep your focus on, okay, if I go through this, I'm going to be complete and lacking nothing?
Well, I think the first thing, I hope this isn't sidetracking, but I mentioned this again Sunday, so if you were there, you may have heard this, but I think it's important because we'll use this in this discussion too, is that I use this this example often, is that if you ever walk outside and see that your tire is sitting on the ground, you got a flat tire on your vehicle, how do you discover what the problem is? Okay, so you pull that tire off, you bring it to the shop or whatever and say, okay, what is wrong? This tire is flat. What caused it to go flat? Well, the way you're going to discover what caused it to go flat is you put pressure on it. You mm-hmm. pressure it up, and the pressure exposes the problem, right?
Right.
And so then you can patch it, you can plug it, or buy a new one, whatever you're going to do. But for our purposes, we're not buying new ones. For our purposes, we're plugging it.
The pressure of your wife is so, yeah, so you buy a new one.
Divorce your wife. Yeah. So, yeah, because but it's this idea that pressure exposes. So when we're talking about the challenges that we face, the various trials that we mm-hmm. may face today, the one thing I think that's important to remember is that as much as we don't like pressure, if there is a hole, if there is a deficiency in our character, in
right.
our skill set, in whatever it is, pressure, one of the values of pressure is that it'll expose it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people, when that gets exposed, you go into depression or right. you know, guilt or shame or, well, none of those are the appropriate response.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully what we do is we say, okay, the pressure, whatever that is, has exposed a deficiency. So now we turn to the Lord and we go, okay, God, I'm going to take this as an opportunity, like James said.
Right.
It's an opportunity to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to whine about this. In fact, James said, get joyful because
right.
here's an opportunity for yeah. growth, right? And so I think even as we discuss here today, I'd like to discuss in those terms. So what has the pressure exposed?
Okay.
And then how do we then go about addressing that or let the pressure develop perseverance okay. or patience?
All right, so you want to talk about some specific pressure?
Yeah.
And then just come up with some possible solutions?
Yeah.
All right, so let's do this one. Can I use my life?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm in probably the most pressure cooker season I've ever been in my life. Mm-hmm. We have no days off right now because of a choice that we make. So this is not like God putting me in right. this. I think that's important to say. I'm coaching every sport my kids plays.
So. Well, let me say this too. There's always that wrestle, like, is God applying the pressure or is he just using the pressure? Because sometimes the pressure, in fact, probably most often, the pressure is self-inflicted.
Oh, absolutely it is.
Unless we're talking about persecution and stuff that these guys were, right? Yeah. You know, so a lot of the pressures that we face in modern may just be self-inflicted.
Right. So coaching every sport, you know, tournament soccer, tournament baseball. Sorry, I said tournament baseball in front of your presence. And also flag football, two teams, owning a business, working up here, doing my own media. Like, it's just a lot of stuff going on. And what that's causing is conflict. It's caused conflict with me and my kids because they maybe don't perform. And so that's pressure on, okay, am I just their coach? Am I their dad? And that wrestle. Of course, financial stuff, because you're spending this money on all these things that we're doing, buy new equipment for the business. You know what I'm saying? So this is a pressure. So let's talk about specifically marriage. So pressure in marriage, financial pressure in marriage.
Okay.
Because they say that you fight about two things. You fight about sex and you fight about money, right?
Right.
And so let's talk about the financial part of it. So you're feeling the pinch financially, and that's causing some conflicts, some pressure. What's a way to resolve that?
Well, I think, first of all, again, our immediate response needs to be, all right, Lord, this is an opportunity. Okay, so step one would be, because your tendency is always going to be to react negatively.
Right.
Whine and complain, go into depression, guilt, that kind of thing.
And so, blame.
Blame, that's right. Yeah, you could be blaming your spouse or whatever else. So to specifically obey the passage here, it's like, okay, Lord, here's an opportunity. I'm going to be joyful. So that would say step one. Second thing is maybe go, okay, God, what is this pressure exposing?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something wrong here?
Right.
Okay, so maybe we then go to the Lord. Are we counsel with godly people? Or even self-reflection, meditation, you know, whatever. Meditation in the proper way, you know, And so, but here's some things that maybe that could expose. So maybe we sit down and go, all right, are we living according to our family values? I'm dealing specifically with the sports stuff you were talking about.
Right.
So it's like, we are so busy and we're doing all this stuff. Are we too busy? Are we prioritizing the wrong things and not putting our family in the in its proper place of value? And we're exchanging busyness. I mean, we're as a family, we're doing these activities, but is this the real, the things we should be doing that are producing the ultimate things that we want? Or is God exposing that, hey, you got this thing out of whack, you
right?
know? And so maybe that's the exposure. And so then we go, okay, well, let's revisit those choices. Is that, and the joke is with me in tournament baseball, I don't hate tournament baseball, but I know, well, here's a perfect example. When my kids were growing up, you know, I'm a dad, I want my kids to excel, and my kids were good athletes. All three of them were good athletes. And so we started playing baseball. And especially when Garrett, my oldest, was playing. I mean, he was excelling, but we were playing rec baseball back then, which is a manageable schedule.
Right.
Right? It worked with my work schedule. It worked with our life. Mm-hmm. It worked with our finances. It just worked. So we start playing, and things are going well. I mean, he becomes an all-star and all this kind of stuff. Well, this was right when the trend was moving toward tournament baseball. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so because he was succeeding, the pressure then became from the people around us, you know, like, hey, you ought to play tournament baseball. And then all the better players were leaving rec and going to play tournament ball. And so I hate to say this. If you're playing rec ball, I don't mean you're less than. But the competition level was lower there.
Right.
And everything was moving toward tournament baseball. And we looked at it and we said, okay, I want my kid to succeed. So on one hand, I want him to have those opportunities. He's got some potential here. I want that potential to be developed. But the schedule doesn't work with our life because we work on the weekends and they travel on the weekends. It didn't work with our budget because we didn't really need to be spending. We didn't budget money to spend on staying in a hotel.
Right.
Every weekend and eating out every weekend at the ballpark and all those kind of things. So that didn't work with our budget. And we had seen friends get caught up in that who couldn't afford it. It's, probably mostly with the money aspect of it. They couldn't afford it, but this is what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And they wanted their kid to succeed. So they go into debt, and it almost bankrupts them playing tournament baseball, you know?
Yeah.
And so it just got out of whack with them. And so now we're faced with this, are we going to let our life get out of whack
right.
with tournament baseball? I don't think we're on our subject anymore. Maybe I'm just defending my stance on tournament baseball. It's all right.
I shouldn't even brought it up with you.
But that's the reason right. that, you know, and so we chose to stay in rec ball. And honestly, by the time it got to my daughter Gracie, it probably hurt her some mm-hmm. because all of her friends were playing tournament softball and she had potential.
Right.
But it just did not work with us. And so what we ended up saying was, we're not going to wreck our family or do something that's going right. to hurt. We value our family health more than, I mean, you're probably not going to be a professional right. softball player, you know, so let's just keep this in balance. So she played rec ball. So you have the experience to of playing ball. You get to be developed to some, mm-hmm. you know, level of your potential. And so, anyway, I'm just ranting about this.
No,
but you see what I'm saying? So that was the choice we made as a family. So maybe let me circle this back around. Yeah. So maybe with the original or the point of our original discussion is maybe the pressure that we're feeling because we're so busy, because we're stretched so thin, because when we get stretched like that, I mean, it's our stress level is going to go right. up, which means we're going to be irritated with each right. other more. We may end up that irritation and that stress may hurt our marriage because we're sharp with right. our spouse. Yeah. It may hurt our relationship with our kids because we're, right. you know, there's a lot of, and so that pressure, you know, may expose the fact that we got this thing out of whack. We're spending way too much time
right.
in entertainment or in sports or whatever, even though it could be construed as a family
right.
healthy thing, it's not producing that. So maybe that pressure exposes that we've got things out of balance.
See, the thing is again, not to be off on sports, but the reason why I feel pressure, it has nothing to do with tournament anything. The pressure that I feel is, and I know if there's anybody's watching who is a dad right now with their kids playing sports, you're going to understand what I'm saying. The pressure for me as a good dad is to step up and coach. Hmm. See, probably whenever Garrett and your kids were coaching, you were coaching, there was probably a lot of dads who would volunteer to coach. I know whenever I grew up, there was like 7 coaches on our team. All the dads wanted to help.
Right.
Now, even rec here in Sulphur, they have to call and beg people to come coach because dads don't have time.
Yeah.
And so I feel an obligation to like step up that pressure and go, okay, if I don't step up and coach, nobody will.
Right.
And then now my kids lose an opportunity.
Yeah.
And so instead of me looking at, and this is where, again, not to read this, not to keep going on the scripture, but this on verse 5 afterwards, I think this is the key that I'm reading right now into this is right after he talks about it's you're going to be lacking nothing. There is no page break. He goes right into this and he says, if anyone longs to be wise and ask God for wisdom, he will give it. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures, but overwhelm your failures with his generous grace.
That's right.
And so that's how I'm overcoming this pressure going, okay, Lord. So you looked at it from a, and not saying you didn't ask for wisdom, but okay, it doesn't fit with financially, it doesn't fit here. I'm looking at going, okay, God, I need wisdom on how to handle this situation because I do want my kids to play sports. I don't care where they're at, just play because we play rec in most things. And so it's like, but yet there's nobody here to teach my kids.
Mm, yeah.
So as a minister, I look at my teams that I coach as my children's ministry.
Right.
And I look at it as like, okay, I don't get paid to minister. I am a minister, so wherever I'm at, I'm going to minister.
That's right.
And so I feel that pressure, though.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? So that's where I need to ask God for wisdom, saying, okay, I need grace right now on what to do. Because I don't think just because pressure's exposed means you quit.
That's right. Yeah, no, it doesn't mean quit.
Right, but it's so easy to go and, well, just simplify your life, quit everything. I don't know if that's the solution.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's where that wisdom comes in going, okay, maybe it's out of balance, but maybe it's out of balance because I'm out of balance in another area.
Right.
Or maybe I'm going to be completely honest. When I feel pressure, it's because I'm not in the Word.
Mm, yeah.
I'm going to be honest. When I feel pressure and I feel stress, like I had a friend just the other day, 2 weeks ago, he called my wife and he said, hey, I'm really worried about Brady. can you, I what should I do? Check on him. And my wife said, just call him. So he called me, says, man, how's everything going? And I was literally like, I have not been in my word for like 2 weeks. Cause I've been so just the grind, you know what I'm saying? Because as an entrepreneur, own your own business, and this church is my life. And I realized I have let productivity, leadership overtake my word life. And that's when I felt that pressure.
So you're right. Maybe pressure, even though that those two don't seem related.
Right.
Maybe that's what the answer, maybe that's what it exposed, that pressure exposed.
Oh, yeah, the pressure exposed that my spiritual life is not where it needed to be at that time.
Because as soon as you said that, I went to the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Because remember, right, when we live a life in the Spirit, love shows up, joy shows up, patience, self-control, temperance. All those things are a result of, so if I'm not joyful, if I'm not loving, if I'm not patient, if I'm not self-controlled, maybe, you know.
Right. I'm a pretty calm dude, and I almost got ejected from a football game Saturday. And that's when I mean, literally, that was the mirror looking at me going, what am I doing? Wow. Like, that was a pressure situation, you know? Now, again, this is where I look at that scripture and go, okay, is it really that pressure? It's a flag, rec flag football game.
Yeah,
but
these
I go,
are first world problems.
It's first world problems, but I want to be a representative of Christ every area of my life.
Okay.
And if that is out of balance, then I'm not effective as an ambassador on this earth. So that's why this stuff is really important to me, checking the pressure. So what about, so we went through that. So what about the pressure of...
I think we talked about money, huh?
Yeah, so we talked about money. I don't know if we
mentioned
it.
No, I mean, so let's talk about money.
Yeah,
in other words,
absolutely.
We mentioned it. So maybe there's somebody here who's saying, okay, finances are a pressure in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a pressure exposes something. So maybe, you know, again, first of all, we ask, okay, God, what are you trying to show me in this pressure? And so maybe it's showing that you're materialistic. Maybe showing that you're striving for money. Your focus is money, 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 money. So you're always thinking about money. So this just this constant pursuit of money, 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 money. Maybe all this pressure is God going, hey, you got this in the wrong priority slot, you know. And so then we make that adjustment, and as we make that adjustment, we move more toward that mature, complete.
Right.
So if we get money in its proper place, money is important.
Yeah.
I mean, we all need money.
You got to have money to live.
Yeah. So we're not downplaying money.
Right.
But we easily, especially in the Western culture, in America, we can easily get money out of whack.
Yeah.
And so, and I guess when we talk about pressure where finances is concerned, our mind automatically goes to lack. But I think what we're talking about here is maybe even too much.
Right.
You know, like, I got so much money, I got to figure out what to do with it. How do I maximize
I don't have that problem.
Yeah. I mean, I do, but, you know, I mean, so, but I don't know. So pressure can come in any forms. Again, our verse says trials, various problems, various challenges.
And according to your reflection of it, is look and see where that problem exposes. I call this the Luckenbach, Texas syndrome. I really do. Like, when I think about financial pressure that me and Kayla feel sometimes, I feel like we're just trying to keep up with the Joneses. And I want to go to Luckenbach, Texas with Waylon and Willie. But I really do. I think of that going, okay, life is continually pushing you to have more, to have the best, to have the bigger in this. And especially when people are building bigger houses around your house, and it's just like, what do? All the kids are wearing Under Armour, so your kids got, I mean, financial deal is a huge problem.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it exposes the cracks, which is maybe why there's so much divorce.
Yeah. I've worded it like this before. It's like sometimes we walk outside and, you know, walk down our driveway and we look down the block and go, okay, what are my neighbors driving? What are my neighbors living in? What are they? And then we go, okay, I got to do that. Right. I got to have that truck. I got to have this. And so we take our cues from the culture of how to handle money. You know, our neighbors go on elaborate vacations, you know, in the summer, and then they go skiing in the winter, you know, so it's like, okay, that's what we got to do. We take our cues from the culture. And we try to start doing that, living in that way, where our finances may not be able to handle that, but we think, I got to do this.
Yeah.
And so we behave our way into pressure because of this. And what the pressure may expose is, hey, don't go to your neighbors and look at, you seek the Lord. What does God want you to value? How does God want you to use your finances? What priority do finances fit in according to the kingdom of God? Yeah.
And you know what else that pressure exposes when it comes to financial and like the comparing is it exposes a judgmental attitude. Because immediately I will start judging people for what they do. Hmm. I'll just being vulnerable. We looked into certain vacations. We've looked into like a Disney World vacation. And we realized for a family of four for us to go, it was like really expensive. And then all of a sudden I start seeing all these other people going to Disney. I'm like, how can they afford it? Oh my God. And then I start getting judgmental.
They're probably in debt. They probably don't tithe.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's just like, and then that exposed, that right. pressure exposed. Oh my God, I need to check my heart.
That's
you
right.
know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. And another thing, you know, some on the flip side of it, maybe you have financial pressure because of lack,
mm-hmm.
and that pressure shows that, hey, you're lazy.
Oh, yeah.
Or that you're being not being a good steward of your finances, so tighten it up, you know? And so, again, it doesn't matter what is exposed. The principle we're trying to communicate is pressure is going to expose something. Well, take that as an opportunity to say, okay, Lord, what adjustments do I need to make?
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like, you know? Maybe the pressure you're dealing with, it could be health.
Yeah.
That's something there's certain things we could contribute to that I'm not taking care of my body. And so all of a sudden I'm having health issues now that's putting all kind of pressure on my life. And so maybe that exposes, hey, you need to take better care of your body.
Right.
You're the temple of the Holy Spirit, you know, take care of your body better. Or maybe it's not. Maybe it's just the fact that, I mean, people come down with cancer, you know, and all of a sudden that pressure is in your life. And so this, and it's like, all right, Lord, what do I need to do here? What did that expose? And then how do I need to respond to it? And maybe there isn't a clear, as I'm saying this, I'm going, I don't know what coming down with cancer could have exposed.
That we live in a terrible environment.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah. And so I don't know what adjustments maybe I need to make to my life, but maybe it just exposes my dealing with that in my dealing with cancer. I know it was with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
It was like he just turned into the Lord and he grew so much, even though there wasn't that pressure didn't reveal that you're doing this wrong or that wrong. And so, but it did, he did take that opportunity to grow. And my dad's testimony now and what he knows and what his closeness with the Lord. I mean, that was part of his journey. And actually, as we're moving forward in this series, we're going to be looking at some of the figures from the Old Testament and the pressures that they endured.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those weren't self-inflicted. Some of them were.
Right.
But some of them weren't. They were just God's process of developing them into the developing the potential that they had.
Right.
Like King David.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's...
Not King David with Bathsheba. Not that one.
Right. Before
that was
then. Even as he was developing, I mean, he faced some real trials.
Right.
And some real challenges, mainly with him dealing with Saul.
Right.
Well, that wasn't anything that he had done to deserve.
Right.
But God wanted to shape him to be the king.
Yeah.
So he had him serve a king that wasn't a good leader.
Yeah.
You know?
That was good.
And so anyway, so whether it's self-inflicted or it's an adjustment we need to make or whether it's just life bringing things to us, God is going to use that pressure.
See, I think, aren't you going to talk about Joseph on one of them, probably?
Yeah.
I remember your dad, I hope this doesn't contradict what you're going to preach because I don't want to set you and your dad on each other, but I remember your dad, whenever we were talking about this was years ago, probably 15 years ago, and he said, if Joseph would have just kept his mouth shut, that probably would have never happened to him.
Hmm.
And I was like, I never saw it like that. Because you see like all the stuff that Joseph went through and like, oh God, his brothers are terrible, blah, blah, blah. And go, well, he was an arrogant, my dad loves me more than you, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, if he would have just like lived the dream out, but I'm going, okay, where does that fit in all this? But again, that was self-inflicted in that one. So I'm really excited about this series and all these people you're going to do. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah. Here's my thought on that, what you just said. I don't think Joseph could have kept his mouth shut at that time because that was a character flaw in
him.
And
that pressure.
The pressure and the process brought him to the promise, right?
Yeah.
But he couldn't have jumped. If he'd have just been quiet and jumped to the process, that character flaw, he would have never been able to accomplish what he accomplished because the character flaw wouldn't have been addressed through the process of pressure.
Yeah.
So we're using a lot of P's here, and we're kind of bouncing around, but I hope you guys are getting the idea of what we're trying to communicate.
Yeah, it's not just listen better. No, I'm joking. The pressure of listening to our podcast.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think this series, and even – but forget the series for a moment. Just the scripture. I know we just came off of a series, Listen and Obey. This is a hard scripture to obey.
Yeah.
It really is, to count it all joy.
Yeah.
Count it all joy. Like, whenever things are going rough, amen, Lord, thank you. Like, that's...
And it's easier, it's easier to just focus on the promises and not the process.
Yeah.
And you can actually become more popular as a minister if you just preach the promise.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But if our heart is to really make disciples. Mm-hmm. And so if that's the case, then we have to tell people, yes, I believe in the promises. Yes, I stand on the promises. I claim the promises. But I am aware that God just doesn't make the promise come. He, like we talked about Abraham Sunday, is that God had to do a work, a process in him so that he could attain the promise. So yay and amen toward the promises, but embrace the process.
Right.
And whether we embrace it or not, God's bringing us through it.
Yeah.
I mean, we will go through the process.
Yeah.
I guess how much of our potential is going to be developed and how much of the promise that we actually walk in is how we respond to the pressure. But the pressure is coming.
All right. So no matter what pressure we're going through, whether it's financial, parenting, marriage, whatever it is, the response should always be the same.
Absolutely. That's what's important, is how we respond to this.
Yeah. Response is, Lord, what is this exposing?
Yeah.
Ask for wisdom on how to deal with it.
Yeah.
Lord, I'm counting it all joy, and not let that just be, you know, a lip service to God, but really, Lord, change my heart. Let me see what this is doing to me.
Yeah. The people that really affected the kingdom of God were people who could handle this, who could really deal with the pressures, deal with the trials. Like we said with James, I mean, that's the reason we're reading him and not anybody else, is because he handled this correctly. And I personally want to be somebody who does that. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
But it's not easy getting, you know, if there is a character flaw in me having that exposed, nobody wants to see that, you know.
Right.
But God's ways aren't our ways, you know, and he's more interested in who I am and my development than making me feel good, or those kind of things.
Yeah, because we do have a mission accomplished on the earth, and our job is to partner with the Holy Spirit to accomplish that mission, and that's why I believe we have to be complete, lacking nothing, to accomplish that mission.
But I remember in the faith movement, we almost rebuked, hard times. We rebuked challenges. We did, you know, and we said, you know, if you have enough faith, then you can just make a challenge go away. And the heart was right. I'm not making fun of that. Our heart was
right. The
mountain
cast into the sea.
Yeah.
I got you.
And so, I agree with that. We do need to activate our faith. But what James said here is we can't. The key is faith, which is correct. But how is our faith developed? It's developed through the process of pressure.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do want to live by faith, but we can't do that if our faith isn't mature and developed, where we can say to the mountain, be thou cast into the sea.
Yeah.
Right. And so a lot of people, something happens to them, you know, a brand, or maybe not even a brand new Christian, but an immature Christian, cancer comes, you know. They don't know their word. They don't have developed faith. They don't have any. And now all of a sudden they're speaking to that mountain, and they're disillusioned when the cancer doesn't go away. And so I'm careful with this.
I don't mean this
to be judgmental or critical, but the solution to your healing is, or the access to your healing is through faith.
Yeah.
But our faith has to be developed and mature. And so the process of getting that done is pressure.
Absolutely.
Embrace it.
So
it all joy.
What's going to be part two on?
Joseph. No, Jacob.
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 Okay.
We're gonna be dealing with Jacob. I'm sorry, I got a list going through my head. But we're gonna be looking at Jacob's life, and he was an interesting character. He had some character flaws. He wasn't like we said about David, it was that necessarily we couldn't see any. There weren't any obvious character flaws in David in the beginning of his life. But Jacob was the supplanter, the conniver, gotcha. The manipulator, and God had to work that out in him. And so pressure brought him to the place where he could deal with it. And so that's where we're going to start.
A little trivia for you. Did you know that James is not actually in the Greek translation? That it's actually Jacob. So it's actually the book of Jacob. Just a little bonus. Bonus
it's,
for you.
It's Jacob.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. So you one up me. That's right. Fine. So
if you're gonna
half brother Jesus
there,
right there.
You're gonna go there. There.
I like going there. It's
at least
fun.
Say it correctly.
It's fun. But yeah,
I don't know. If it's Jacob.
We serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and James. You know, but they're saying it comes from that same word. Anyway, wow. I love researching that kind of stuff. So part two coming up this Sunday. Check it out. If you're in town, come to church. If not, podcast for you. Messages.
Awesome.
Bring it.
Yep.
Don't mess it up. Counter eligible.